I'll ask you please to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2 as we continue through our series in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The first six verses of this chapter, as you may recall, is the Apostle Paul exhorting Timothy, and of course by extension us, to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with the goal of perpetuating the truth of God's word until he comes again. That was the goal of the church back in Timothy's day. That's the goal of the church today, that we would promote the truth of God's word, that we would teach it to faithful people that will be able to teach others also. And that's our calling. And then he gives, as you may recall, three examples of the kind of vigilance, the kind of diligence, the kind of determination that it requires to be able to carry through with the goal that God has given to us. You've got to be like a soldier. And I think everybody here understands what that is, right? You know, the diligence, the effort that goes into being a good soldier, being vigilant in battle, not quitting or compromising. When you encounter hard things, and even putting the pleasure and will of your commander ahead of your own desires. That's what a good soldier does. And so if we're going to accomplish the work God has given us to do, we have to think like soldiers. But also, we have got to be diligent. We've got to be consistent like a professional athlete. That's the other illustration. He says you've got to participate in accordance with the rules. To be a contender, to be a winner, you've got to give it your all. You just have to give everything that you have to accomplishing this. And to the point of denying yourself, even the common earthly pleasures and entertainments, to focus more on the event that you have been called to. So to achieve God's goal for us, we need to also be as diligent as a serious athlete. And then you may recall the third example Paul gives is that we need to be as determined as a person who makes their living as a farmer. And I said it like that because there's a great difference between the motivation and determination of a hobby farmer and a farmer who depends on a successful harvest to provide for his needs. If some kind of blight attacks my tomatoes, I have some tomatoes. Well, I have some tomato plants. I don't have any tomatoes yet. I think I should have tomatoes. Should I have tomatoes, Ralph?
I don't plant them.
You don't plant them more. Okay.
I
all right. Well, I'm hoping that tomatoes show up. But if I have a blight in my tomato, or the squash bugs absolutely disseminate one of my squash plants, I may become irritated. I do become irritated, but I'm not afraid that my family's needs won't be met, right? I mean, if my garden just whizzles up and blows away, you know, my wife and I are not going to be with fear and trepidation wondering what's going to become of us, right? Because we're just hobby farmers. We could care less. And so that means I'm not going to put in a lot of time and energy and effort to ensure that I get a bumper crop, right? Because it really, my lifestyle doesn't depend upon that. But if a healthy bumper crop is what's necessary to keep my home, to keep food on my table, then guess what? I'm going to put my blood and sweat and tears into that. I'm going to sacrifice to be able to ensure that I have a successful harvest. Why? Because my life depends upon it. The lifestyle that we have chosen depends upon it. And what he's saying is that's the kind of determination, that's the kind of motivation that we need as believers as we consider accomplishing God's primary goals for ourselves. And so the three examples that Paul gives here point to us, really paint for us a picture of a Christian who is self-denying, right? That's a hard thing. Didn't Jesus say if we were going to be a disciple that we had to deny ourselves? So self-denying, self-sacrificing, hard-working, and highly motivated to live and to work for God, regardless of the personal cost. Remember, Timothy is in a time frame here where the church is new, but it's under great persecution. Right? Paul is writing from an awful prison. Nero burned down Rome, right, and blamed all the Christians. So now Christians are under a great persecution. And Timothy, being as timid as he was, had at least the potential of maybe resisting God's will. And so Paul is saying, look, Timothy, you've got to keep on, just like these examples. You've got to have the characteristics of someone that's hardworking and someone that doesn't give up no matter what the cost is. And that's the kind, folks, isn't that the kind of person that you would want working with you on a big project? Right? Have you ever had anybody work with you that was less than what you had hoped? Have you ever worked on a project where you had somebody working with you that you thought, you know what, it might be better if I just did it myself? Have you ever tried to do a project with children? My wife asked me to watch the kids one day, and I had a little project to do, right? And right now I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old in my house. She said, you know what, you can just let them out, let them go with you and help. I said, yeah, that's a great idea. So we did. And never even started. Never even got, you know what, for guys, you know this, it takes a long time to set up for a project, right? And so when you got two little kids that are helping, right, it's just, but my point is that you want what Paul describes here as someone that would help you in a project. God is saying, I want you to be that. I want you to be this kind of Christian because I have a plan. And I need you to be this way to fulfill that plan. And pursuing the goals that God has for us will always create conflict, right? If you strive to live for Jesus Christ and you're not compromising your beliefs, but you're trying to live according to the Word of God, you can count on it, folks. You are going to experience difficulties. God allows difficulties, right, as part of His will, but there's also going to be the animosity of the wicked one. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the Bible tells us. And so you can count on it that we're going to be experiencing these difficult times, oftentimes affliction. But guess what? God wants us to keep going in spite of that. Our flesh says, look, it's not fair. You're experiencing difficulties. It's okay just to set back for a while, just to get out of the battle for a while, right? Can you imagine soldiers today saying that? Wow, it's really rough out here. Can I just take a break? You know, I wasn't anticipating war, you know, in war. I wasn't anticipating that. I may have told you the story when I was in the reserves long ago. This was long ago. When Desert Storm, remember when there was Desert Shield, right? And everybody was all excited about Desert Shield. And I had just gotten into the reserves. Well, then Desert Shield turned into Desert Storm. Well, you know what happened? People that were in reserves were called to active duty. And they had to go. And I remember being at the reserve station and just waiting, seeing if that was going to happen to me. And all these people that were complaining, saying, I didn't sign up for this. So what did you sign up for? I mean, that's what reserves do, right? If there's a war, then you go, right? That's what's expected. And what God is trying to tell us is, look, you're in a warfare. Christian, you're in a warfare. However, I have a mission for you. And that is to propagate the truth of the Word of God, regardless of the difficulty you may experience. You've got to keep on going. And then Paul concludes this section with this admonition in verse 7, we're in chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 7, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And what Paul is doing here, folks, he's making what he just said in the first 6 verses, he's making it a very personal charge to Timothy. And, of course, by extension to us also. right? Because our tendency is when things get tough that we kind of hunker down and focus upon our own needs. And anything that is outside of us, including the work of the Lord, we set aside for a time until we can become more comfortable. And Paul is saying that's not the life of a Christian. That's not the attitude of a Christian. So consider this, Timothy. These are things that God expects you, Timothy, and all of us as God's people, to endure. Listen, as God's people, there are things He expects us to avoid. And there are things that He expects us to endure. He expects us as His people to obey His word, regardless of what we may be experiencing. And He expects us to accomplish those things regardless of what we may be experiencing. Paul gives us the Lord's assurance in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, where he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Now, that's our calling. That should be the norm of the Christian life. All right, we look at this and we say, no, those are for super Christians. Super Christians are the ones that are steadfast. They're unmovable. They're always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is for all of us. Every one of us will be held accountable for fulfilling that. And he says at the end of that verse, "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." God says, you work with everything that I have given to you. You give the best that you have. None of it will be in vain. Why does he have to say that? Because your flesh and the devil will say contrary. Your flesh will say things like this: what's the use? You're not getting anywhere. Are you any better now than you used to be? Have you gotten any farther than you were before? What's the use? And what God is saying is, listen, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what your flesh says. Just know this, that any labor that you do is not going to be in vain. Amen. That Christ is going to take note of it. What is he saying? It will be worth it all. Right? It will be worth it all. The time, the effort, the cost of serving the Lord is not in vain. And you know what the Bible is very clear about? Is that God always rewards faithfulness. He always does, whether it's in this life or in the next. But God always rewards faithfulness. So Paul is saying, Timothy, consider these things that I have told you. Now, the verb consider is an imperative, which means it's a what? It's a command, right? He's saying, Timothy, this is not merely Paul's advice. But this is a command to Timothy. And what he's saying, Timothy, you need to continuously think over and carefully ponder what I said. Why? Because these are important words. These are words that lead to victory. When we embrace these things, then we are taking on the resources that God has given to us to be the good kind of soldiers that we ought to be, to show forth those kind of characteristics. And so he says, carefully ponder those things. And basically what he's saying to Timothy is, I want you to look at your life and compare it to what I've said. You know what he's saying to us? Same thing. What I just said, I want you to compare your life to it. Look at your own life. Compare your life to these things. Do these things that I've said with regarding the examples, do those things bear testimony to you being a strong, mature believer in Christ? Only you can answer that. You and God are the only ones that know your heart. But that's what the Word of God does. It causes us to compare ourselves to the truth of it. Are you devoting yourself to guarding and teaching and promoting the Word of God? Are we denying ourselves? Do we deny ourselves? Do we count our lives as nothing in order to faithfully serve the Lord? Do you know that's what God expects? And what we have to answer is He worthy of that? Is God worthy that we should give Him everything that we have? That we should make him our primary purpose in life. Yes, he is worthy. And that's what he expects also. That's what he expects. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we keep a distance between ourselves and the affairs of this world? Are we continually preparing ourselves to serve our master? And are we willing to pay the price of the demands that God puts upon our lives? Right? We live in relative ease, right, in this nation. In this time frame, Christianity in America is relatively easy compared to many of our brethren that lost their lives for the sake of Christ, for them standing up for Christ. But God still expects us to give our all to Him. And so if that's your heart's desire, if that's the kind of Christian you want to be, if you're striving for that, or at least you're wanting to move in that direction, well, the Lord gives us a promise here. He promises to give thee understanding in all things. You know, I found in Scripture that to God, that is a huge reward to His people. When we think of rewards from God, oftentimes I think we think a little selfishly. We think, yes, I'm pleasing God. Maybe I'll get that boat. I'm pleasing God. Maybe I'll get that car or that house that I'm looking for. To God, one of the things that is a paramount blessing from Him is understanding. Amen. Understanding Him. He promises to give thee understanding in all things. And as I thought of that, I thought, is there not a parallel even to what Paul was saying to the Romans in Romans chapter 12? Remember his admonition in verses 1 and 2? In verse 1, he says, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. All right? And that's kind of, isn't that what Paul is telling Timothy to do? By those examples, Timothy, you need to give yourself to the Lord, sacrificing your own personal desires for the sake of Christ. And then at the end of verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, Paul says this, that ye may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what Paul is saying to the Romans is this, if you present your bodies a living sacrifice, you live in a way that puts God first in all things, God promises that you will be able to prove His will. That word prove has the idea of meaning, it's the idea of discerning, being able to discern. And how great is that? How many times as Christians have you thought, boy, I wish I knew what God's will is here. God says, if you present yourself this way, I'll give you that. I'll give you that discernment. And so considering in this case is more than just thinking about, right? When Paul says to Timothy, consider these things. He's not just saying, have a whimsical thought about it. What he's actually saying is, Timothy, you need to submit to these things and act upon these things with the promise that God will lead you down a path with His wisdom, with His insight. Let me tell you something. There is nothing this world has to offer that's greater than God giving you His mind. Amen. Than God giving you His wisdom and His illumination every step of the way. Folks, the Word of God is what gives context to our lives. Right? The people of this world, they write books, they have shows, they have programs, right? Series, documentaries on the purpose of life. God's Word gives us the context and the purpose of all lives. And God's working in each of those lives. And to be able to have His mind like this, and this is what God is saying, I'll give that to you if you'll just give yourself to me. If you'll be this kind of Christian, Timothy. If you'll be this kind of Christian, Romans. And so God would give us that ability to discern. So when you think of that proving what is the perfect will of God, that's discernment. Well, what does understanding here mean then? He says, consider these things and you'll have the understanding of these things. Well, understanding is discernment, isn't it? It's not just knowledge. The word understanding has the idea of having knowledge, but it's the ability to know what it means. And God says, I'll give you that. You give me yourself. You put me first in all things. And as he says, you'll have that kind of understanding. And give you understanding in all things that pertain to your life as a Christian. And so to me, that is a great motivation for us to be the kind of Christians that we ought to be. Even in the struggles that we deal with. And every one of us deals with some kind of a struggle. If you're not dealing with a struggle, you will. If you're trying to live for Christ, you will. Because that's part of God's molding us and building us up. Well, Paul continues his encouragement in verses 8 to 13. In those verses, he continues this by highlighting some very powerful motivations for Timothy to remain faithful. And isn't that key? I mean, that's what he's been talking about. Our faithfulness is important. And I mentioned how God rewards faithfulness. And Paul is saying, Timothy, you've got to remain faithful. And where is Paul writing from? From a nasty dungeon, right? He's remaining faithful in very awful circumstances. And at this point, he's aware that his time is short. And yet he's still faithful to the ministry that God has entrusted to him. And he's saying, Timothy, you need to do that too. And you can by the grace of God. You can be this kind of person by the grace of God. But you know what happens, folks? Oftentimes when we are so focused upon our own difficulties, and you know how it is, you can get so focused on a trial that you're going through, that what happens is, it's hard for us to see the picture from God's perspective. It's hard for us to see the cause, right? The cause of God. And as you know, the Israelites experienced this when they were fighting the Philistines, right? You know the story, David and Goliath. Goliath was a giant. And what a representation of the trials that we go through, right? But here was this giant, so powerful. And the Israelites allowed themselves to become fearful of that giant. And when they became fearful of that giant, they lost sight of the cause. They began to fear for their own lives, their own safety, right? They became, and that's the worst thing for a soldier, to be concerned about their own personal safety rather than the overall cause of the army. And that's what was happening. That's what was happening. The king, right? King Saul had done the same thing. And so Goliath comes out. He says, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. And even the king shook in his boots. This guy caused them to be afraid. And 1 Samuel 17 verse 11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid and they were concerned about themselves, their own personal safety. And folks, these people were just purely being selfish. They were thinking this is dangerous. Just like I told you about the reservists. You know, I didn't sign up for this. It's kind of like that's what they were doing. Here we are at wartime, but I wasn't expecting to fight. And I wasn't expecting to fight this big giant. And so they were very afraid. And David rebuked them, right? Young David comes in. He's not a soldier, but he has a heart for God. He has a love for God. He rebuked their attitudes in verse 29 of that chapter. And he said this, I can imagine standing in front of his brothers, in front of King Saul, in front of these other soldiers. He says, is there not a cause? And what was he saying? He was saying, isn't there a cause that is greater than your own personal comfort? Isn't there a cause that is greater than your own personal safety? Now, he wasn't asking for yes or no, was he? It's a rhetorical question, and the expected answer was what? Yes, there is a cause. Listen, yes, the giant was being an abomination of their God to the people. He was obnoxious about the things of the Lord. And David says, is there not a cause? Are you just so concerned about your own safety? But David saw the cause. This young man, who was not a soldier, recognized that his God was all perfect and deserved to be stood up for. And that's what he did. And setting aside his own comfort, setting aside his own safety, by faith in the cause, he stepped out and he said to King Saul, "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. This enemy of God's people. I'll fight him. I'm just a kid. But I'm a kid going in faith by the power of God." And even a child going in faith, recognizing the cause, can overcome by the power of God. And so he was faithful to God's cause in spite of the potential danger that he was walking into. And he himself thought that the cause of God ought to be fought for. And, you know, oftentimes we'll say, yeah, there's a cause. Somebody ought to do something about that. But David said, there is a cause. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to step up and I'm going to be the one to do the job. And he was determined that he would do it. Folks, this is a faithful servant to God's cause. That's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to be. Timothy, don't lose sight of the cause. Don't lose sight of your purpose. And God knows that you're going to experience difficult things. Difficult things are not a reason to quit. They're all part of the plan of God. And you've got to keep on going. And that's what he's encouraging Timothy to be. Faithful to the cause of Christ, regardless of the difficulties that we may encounter. And folks, what we're going to see again is the correlation between faithfulness and focus. Faithfulness and biblical focus. Your faithfulness will be determined greatly by your focus, the things that you're thinking on. Remember, God's truth is key to remaining faithful. When you forget God's promises, you will be less likely to be faithful. But when you focus upon Christ, when you focus upon His Word, then the Spirit of God takes that Word and strengthens you, encourages you, and gives you supernatural strength and courage like He did David in the sight of the greatest giant. Well, the first thing that Paul mentions in this section to help Timothy be faithful, he mentions this in verse 8, and this is as far as we'll get. Well, what's the first word of verse 8? Isn't that key? I don't think that these people forgot, just totally drew a blank to these truths. And I don't think that's a problem with a lot of Christians. It's not that Christians say, oh, you know what? It left. I don't know it. But what happens is we become so distracted that we don't remember. But when we allow ourselves to remember, the Word of God remembered brings power back into our lives. It's an infusion of God's power when we remember the truth of the Word of God. And it is important. And specifically, what is he saying in verse 8? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Folks, is that not foundational in our walk? Have you ever heard anybody say, look, are you having a hard time? Look to Jesus. Go to Jesus with that. Right? It becomes cliche to some people. But that's what he's saying. All right, Timothy, things are going to be tough. You have a tendency to be weak. You have to have these characteristics of a soldier that is going to go forth meeting his goal. You need to be faithful. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. The songwriter Helen Lemmel wrote this, "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free." Paul gives a similar exhortation to the Hebrews. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 12, after admonishing them to run their race with patience, right, with endurance, laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset them, he says this in verse 2. He says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." He's the one that began our faith. He's the one that will finish our faith, that will bring our faith to a culmination one day. "But he is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." When you're running the race, you want to be victorious? Look to him. Just look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yes, run, endure, fight the good fight, but keep your eyes on Christ. I remember when I was in high school. Believe it or not, I remember when I was in high school. And I was actually on the track team. I know you probably have a hard time believing that, but I was. I was on the track team. And I remember our coach used to go, I ran sprints, and he would go to the end of the track, and he would say, "Keep your eyes on me." He said, "If you turn your eyes, you're going to do laps till you can't walk." He said, "I'm going to be watching your eyes." He said, "If I see you turn at all." And he said, "The reason being is because when you turn your head even the slightest to look at what's going on around you, you're going to be distracted. And you're going to lose time because of it." But I've had guys that have done that and run right into my lane. Right? You want to talk about a catastrophe. And that's what happens when you get off sight. It just ruins everything. So you have to keep your eyes focused. And what God is saying is, look, you're running a race just like a runner. And so as not to be distracted to the right or to the left, so as not to be hindered in your race, look unto him. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Look unto him. He says in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, consider him. Right? Paul tells Timothy, consider these things that I've said. He tells the Hebrews, consider him, referring to Jesus. Consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. See, our temptation is to faint. Our temptation is to get tired, right? Everybody's overworked. Everybody has so much to do, right? All you got to do is ask. People let you know how busy they are. And our tendency is, I need rest. I need a break. We all need a break. But when we consider Christ, who did all this for us in our race, we won't be tempted to quit. We won't be tempted to faint. We'll just keep on going, knowing that he is there and we've got our eyes on him. And that's what he exhorts us to do. Now, the form of the verb that Paul uses in 2 Timothy 2:8 carries the idea again of this continuous activity where he says, keep remembering. You want to be successful? You want to be victorious in your walk as a Christian? Keep remembering. Keep thinking about Jesus. He is your power. He is your strength. Folks, there is a supernatural power that goes with thinking about Jesus Christ and what he did for you. As you think about him, the Spirit of God that is living in you magnifies him in your heart, and guess what? You're strengthened. You're strengthened as you focus upon him. There is a power that you have in him. But when you're distracted from him, then you're weakened. And you need to get, all you have to do is continue to remember. Keep remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep remembering what he did to procure your salvation. He died. He was buried. He bore your sins upon the cross so that you could have the opportunity to have your sins forgiven. And all he wants you to do is to believe on him. He did all of that for us. That's a cause. He said he did all of that and he left us here to promote that truth. That's the cause. And it should never be diminished. But if we take our eyes off of him, it will be. It'll become diminished. So keep remembering what he did for you, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.